entertaining, cool. You are listening to LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
You're listening to To The Max, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. That's right, you're listening to The Max and Friends, only here on LA Talk Radio. Oh my God, it's 11 o'clock. I'm in Florida right now. My sound might sound weird because I'm calling in from my cell phone as I'm driving around because I know my co-host Tamara is going to hold down the studio yet again with an amazing show. So Tamara, pull up your mic because I know you're itching to get on the air. Waves, girl, what's up?
Well, hello there, Mr. Max. I'm excited to be on our show again. So what are you doing in Florida?
Well, I'm driving around right now. I'm literally in the car, you know, doing my thing, taking life to the max as usual. Had a great week. It's so beautiful down here. It's 80 degrees. My poor friend Paul is trying to find a bar that's open. So if anyone's listening right now here in the Florida area and you want to make money, open up a bar in Boca Raton, Florida. That's open to at least 1 o'clock on Monday night. And happy Yom Kippur, everyone, speaking about things opening and whatnot. How was your week, Tamara?
Oh, my gosh, Max. It was absolutely incredible. I am like this global. It feels like I'm traveling all over the world. I got my guy over in Colorado, and so we're going back and forth, and it's been good. My sex classes have been amazing. So the way the kids are just really learning and opening up, it's been awesome. So I've been inviting them to come on the show here with us in our inner circle. And it's going really good.
Doing your thing. All right. Well, you know, now tell everyone, you've got an amazing show plan tonight. You know, I'm going to get you, girl, because every time that I'm not on the air, you have the most amazing guests.
Yeah.
It's like an internal sabotage. So who do you have on coming on tonight? I know you've got some great people coming on.
Oh, my God, Max. People. We have got Mr. Greg Moores here with us tonight, and also one of his friends. His name is Hawk. And Greg is an incredible author, and he's a speaker. He does workshops called Authent Talk, where people really get the opportunity to get in alignment with what their passion is and what their purpose is on this planet, and then look out, because they're just unleashed in ways that they would have not thought possible prior to working with him. So I am ecstatic to bring him on the air with us, because I know that our listeners are just going to find this very juicy and very yummy to get what he is about. Because I'm telling you what, this guy, I mean, he's just about ready to just break loose on this world. And he's doing great things on the planet. So, I mean,
Well, you know what? Every time we have someone on the show, people, you know what? You're tuning in tonight to Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Max Tucci, and my co-host, Tamara. The lines are going to be open tonight, so call in to 323-203-0815. Align your life with your passion tonight. Align your life with your purpose tonight. And I guess align your life, get ready to take off and fly and soar, because it sounds like you're going to have a show where people are going to get yet another breakthrough in their life on Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. Is that the truth or what?
Absolutely, Max. And you know what? For the last 8 months, we have been creating what I like to call like this inner circle, so that all of our guests and all of our callers know that they're invited in with us with this unconditional acceptance that provides like this amazing opportunity for all kinds of stimulating conversation. And I know that we are just about ready to just dive into that. And it's going to be great. You're going to have to download this show later on, Max.
Download it. I can't wait to get, you know what, I don't have an iPhone because, you know, I'm a T-Mobile Sidekick person, because I do a lot of things with Sidekicks with the radio show. So if I had an iPhone right now, I'd be downloading it. So I'm telling you, everyone, if you want to hear this show and you don't have a computer, get your iPhone. We've got an app for it. Get your BlackBerry, because we've got an app for that. If you got Phoenix WiMAX, tune it up, because you're going to have an amazing show tonight. I got to give a big shout-out. You know, I did that book with my friend Eduardo Zoll from Extreme Makeover Home Edition. The book is called Extreme Entertaining Made Simple. I got the first chapter, The Classic Dinner Party. And Eduardo's building a house right now with the whole team in New England, somewhere in Connecticut, or maybe Massachusetts, because New England is so broad. But he's there building a house with Ty and everyone right now. So big up to the whole crew and all the talent on Extreme Makeover Home Edition on ABC. tune into that. For more information, go to abc.com, because you all know this show, and they're going to, you know, it's inspiring. So we like to bring inspiring things on the show. Speaking of inspiring, how amazing was it to have Rolanda Watts on last week's show?
Oh, my God. Max, was she incredible or what? I mean, God, she was just she was amazing. I loved her.
No, go to Rolanda.com. Go to last week's show, because, you know, all of our archives are all here. We got all the archives for you from every show. So if you miss any portion of any show, you know, you go to LATalkRadio.com. But, Tamara, I got to tell you, oh, you know what? Happy birthday, everyone else. I don't have my list in front of me because I am on the go. We know how I fly. I'm a total gypset. That's a gypsetter. Gypsy mixed with a jet setter. Gypset. And that's a great book, to go to gypset.com, because that's my lifestyle right now, because I'm on the road. Tamara, I give you all the love right now that I have to give you. Thank you so much for holding down the show tonight. You did such a great job. And I can't believe it's been 8 months. One more month, we could have had a baby together.
I think you're birthing all kinds of possibilities here.
Isn't that the truth?
It is.
So, on that note, I'm going to say hi to my friend Rose. She's working at Sloan's right now in Boca Raton, Florida. It's the best ice cream parlor. I just got my munch on. I got to tell you the truth. It was so good. I had a peanut butter ice cream to die for. But on that note, that's one of my passions in life, is to eat. And y'all know that. So check me out at max2g.com. I'm going to plug myself. I got my vodka coming out real soon. So stay tuned for
that. Right.
Follow me on Twitter. Twitter.com/MaxTucci. I'm going to turn over the mic and the show, Max and Friends, on LA Talk Radio, to my dear friend and my co-host, Tamara Bowman. Check her out at TamaraBowman.com. She's got her book coming out real soon. And I'm not going to talk anymore, because I want this show to be the show that's going to release you people. I want this to be the show that's going to inspire you to actually find out what the fuck is going on in your life and straighten the shit out today. You know what? The pity parties are over. Save your freaking stamps. Donate the cents to someone else, because you know what? Pity parties are over. Grab a hold of your life and own it. On that note, Tamara, introduce your guests, bring them on, and have a wonderful show. I'll be tuning in. And you know what? I might be calling in towards the end of the show, too. So have a great show.
Good.
All
thanks,
right?
Max.
And
I appreciate you all.
And everyone, again, call in. The lines are open at 323-203-0815. And say what you want, because this is LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Max Tucci. I'm signing off for now, and I'm turning it over to Tamara Bowman. Have a great show.
Awesome. Thanks,
all
Max.
All right. I got everyone warmed up and ready to go. Oh, before I got to say hi to Phil. Phil is the warm-up coordinator at the Sherry Shepherd Show. How could I forget? Sherry Shepherd, I went Friday night to the taping. Everyone, tune into Lifetime. October 5th, Sherry Shepherd, you know her from The View. She's got a great book coming out, too. She's got her own show called Sherry on Lifetime. And we were in the audience for about 5 hours. We needed Depends. We were laughing. Yes, we were laughing our asses off. We had an amazing time. Sherry Shepherd is the most gracious celebrity, I guess, I've ever met. Tamara, check this out. There were about 100 people in the audience. She waited. It was like 11:30 at night. They did a 6-hour, 5.5-hour taping. She waited until everybody was gone to say, she said goodnight to everybody. Shook their hand, hugged them, did photo shoot with everyone. She was the most gracious person. So we got to get her on the show real quick. But Tamara, she has, you know, really worked her ass off, got to where she is. And not only that, she's an Emmy winner as well from The View. So everyone, tune into Lifetime October 5th for the Sherry Show with Sherry Shepherd, because it is the most amazing sitcom. So I told her I'd give her a little plug, because we Twitter each other all the time, so I thought I would plug her up. So on that note, Tamara, turn it over, introduce your guests, and take this show to the max, and I'll talk to you hopefully before the show's over, because I want to be inspired a little bit.
Oh, sweetheart, you got it. Thanks, baby.
I miss you. Have fun.
Miss you.
Bye.
Okay,
right.
Honey.
I love you all. Everyone, thanks for tuning in, because right now, where you are right now is where you're supposed to be, and that's the Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. Signing out, and talk to you later. Bye, Tamara.
Bye, babe. Bye. Wow, it's always so good to have Max on here with us. Oh, my gosh, this is one exciting show, and right now we have lost Greg, so we're getting him back on the show. And this is very exciting, because he is just being patched in right now. So it was great to hear from Max. We got to say hello to all of our celebrity friends and wishing them happy birthday. So thanks again. So without any further ado, I am so honored and so blessed to be able to introduce to you all, listeners from all over the world, Mr. Greg Moore. Greg Moores is the creator of Heart Virtues. At age 21, Greg started his own computer software company in Dallas. As a pioneer of artificial intelligence design, Greg was on a fast track for extraordinary corporate success. That is, until the magical day he suddenly decided to become a monk. For 8 years, he lived in a monastery, meditating, introspecting, and studying the lives of some of the world's great contributors. During his spiritual research, Greg distilled the common denominators between spiritual giants and the greatest heroes of humanity. His book, which is called Unlock Your Heart Virtue, Become the Authentic Leader of Your Life by Greg Moores, explains how the greatest leaders throughout history had three basic elements in common. So, with that little teaser, I'm going to invite Greg to join us on the show here tonight. Greg, are you on the air with us?
I am, Tamara. It's great to be here.
Oh, my goodness. It is wonderful to have you on the show, my friend. So tell us, I mean, here I'm just like looking at your bio, I'm reading about you, and of course I am blessed to know you. I just want to throw that out there to our listeners, that Greg is very dear to me. So Greg, what are the three basic elements in common that you write about that help people unlock their heart virtue?
Well, I studied the lives of the people that were heroes because I found that everyone admires these people. We have this automatic propensity to want to try to be like them. And I was like, well, what are they doing? So I found these three common things. The number one is that they knew who they were and they knew where they stood. So they knew themselves. Socrates said in 400 BC, know thyself. The second thing they did was they communicated powerfully and beautifully. They spoke their truth. And the third thing they did was it made an enormous contribution to humanity. So people like Mother Teresa, Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Abraham Lincoln. In fact, if you ask your listeners to bring one of their heroes to mind, someone they admire that inspires them, those are the three things that all heroes have in common. Know themselves, spoke their truth, made a contribution.
Wow, I love that. And you know what? I just want to give our number out to our callers in case you have any questions for Greg or for me. The number is 323-203-0815. And if you've got a blocked number on your landline or on your cell phone, we're not able to patch you through. So there is one way to unblock that, and is to do a star 62 or star something where you're going to unblock your number, where we can, our producers can see that, because I can tell that we've had some callers call in already trying to get through. So make sure you unblock those numbers and that you can get through to our spiritual guru, Mr. Greg Moores, who is talking about how amazing it has been for him to be able to study the heroes of our lifetime and understand those elements of what it takes to be a great hero and to communicate that powerfully. And I'm going to invite some of our callers too, that if you're curious about what yours is, go ahead and give us a call at 323-203-0815. And Greg, are you open for questions from callers?
Oh, absolutely. Love it. I love the challenging questions. So, put me to the test here. You know, we've been doing this work for about 8 years, and we really have found a pretty bulletproof system for how does a normal human being, a normal mediocre human being, all of a sudden goes through about a 90-day process, and they literally become a humanitarian contributor. So it's a very simple process, and the first step is knowing yourself. And I think what you were referring to when you said, you know, call if you want to know yours, is you're talking about that one thing that they knew about themselves. And what that was they knew their virtue. Every hero throughout history had one virtue that they were expressing in their lives. Like Mother Teresa was compassion. Mm-hmm. And Martin Luther King was brotherhood. And Abraham Lincoln was unity. And Gandhi was peaceful liberation. So what's yours as a viewer? What's the one thing that you will not tolerate seeing violated? And when it's fulfilled, you literally just filled with goosebumps.
I love that. I love the work that you do in this world, Greg. I mean, it is just, it gives me goosebumps just to think about you doing it. And what would be your heart virtue?
I'm committed to spiritual integrity, which means I love seeing people live in alignment with what's most meaningful to them, instead of living their life in alignment with somebody else's plan for their life. It infuriates me when I see people doing something because, you know, well, my parents wanted to be a lawyer or a doctor. I'm like, what do you want? Start living from the inside out. And so many people have got some belief about how I have to do this in order to get that. I'm like, man, if you're passionate about what you love to do, you'll create an incredibly rewarding career just by maximizing your contribution to humanity.
And Greg, what would you say to those people that are just like, you know, if I knew what my passion was, I would be doing it. I mean, if there's just so many blocks and so many things covering, you know, what it is that they even have an inkling about, what would you suggest for them to just get started?
Well, the first step is stop trying to know what your passion is and start creating it. I mean, take a look. Here's the process that we use to identify people's heart virtues, that thing that you're so passionate about, you're willing to live for it and die for it. Here's the process. There are movies, there are books, there are people that you've seen, and when you saw these particular scenes in a movie or read this particular paragraph of a book, you literally got goosebumps. A rush of love goes up through your body. You've got tears running down your cheeks, and there's goosebumps all over your arms. That is natural passion. It's automatically happening to you. So take a look at those moments that give you goosebumps and start to look for a common theme. Is it loyalty? Is it appreciation, respect, honor, recognition, trust? What's the thing that automatically gives your body goosebumps when you see it being fulfilled in those moments, in movies and books and sitcoms, whatever it happens to be? And if you can line those up and start designing projects and activities that are in alignment with the things that give you goosebumps, you've identified your passion. But it's not about knowing what it is. It's about creating it by going out and really being courageous about doing something for you know, to make a contribution to humanity.
Excellent. And, Greg, we've got a caller on the line. Caller, welcome to LA Talk Radio. You're on the air.
Hello.
Well, hello there. Who's calling? Well, hello there.
Hi, honey. It's Christiana.
Hi, Christiana. How are you, sweetheart?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Good. You're on the air with Greg and I. Do you have a question for Greg?
Hi, Greg. How are you?
Excellent, Christiana. How are you?
Fantastic. I was calling about my heart virtues. I had the great fortune of speaking to you about heart virtues, but I didn't get a chance to find my own. I haven't done the heart virtues.
There's three ways you can identify your heart virtue. In a one-on-one session with one of our heart virtue experts, we have 40 of those, or you can actually go to heartvirtue.com and take an online assessment right now. You just go there. There's a little online assessment where you actually, you know, you pay the fee and you go in and you answer a bunch of questions about moments that gave you goosebumps and moments that made you enraged, and you send it to us. It'll send us the results. We process it and send it back to you. Or you can come to one of our three-day workshops. They're called Often Talk. It's about living authentically and speaking authentically. And in the first day of that workshop, we identify everyone's heart virtue in the workshop.
Oh, I love that. Okay, and Greg, what is the website again?
Heartvirtue.com. HEARTVIRTUE.com.
Heartvirtue.com. That is wonderful. You know what, Greg? Let's give people a sample. And Christiana, thank you so much for calling in, sweetheart. Appreciate that so much.
Pleasure. Thank you so much, Greg.
Okay, and Christiana, what is it your website where people can find you?
It's simpleorganizations.com.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Okay, thanks for calling in, sweetheart.
Thank you so much.
Greg, okay, thanks. And Greg, listen, you know what? I was just thinking this would be really cool to give our listeners an example of what that looks like. Could you explain from a movie a scene that gave you goosebumps?
Sure. perfect example. If you take, Gladiator. Mm-hmm. There's this moment in Gladiator, you know, throughout the entire movie, they throw him in jail. There's all kinds of things that happen to the guy, but he never loses his equanimity. He knows who he is. He knows where he stands. And there's this moment where he takes the mask off in the middle of the arena there. That's basically, he's in spiritual integrity in that one moment. He's standing for what he believes in. He's living his truth, and he just doesn't give up on it. So that's one of my goosebumps moments.
Wow, that is so beautiful. He's authentic because he takes his mask off. You know, he's like, right. He's got nothing to hide.
Yeah, another one of my favorite scenes is from the movie Gandhi, where mm-hmm. Gandhi basically says, you know, look, you can kill me, you can beat my body, you can do whatever you want, and you may have my dead body, but you will not have my obedience. So he's mm-hmm. living in integrity with what means the most to him, and he's saying, I will not bow to what means the most to other people, trying to get me to live my life in alignment with them. I'm going to live from the inside out instead of living from the outside in.
Wow.
Beautiful. So integrity.
I love that. You know, that reminds me of another scene from Braveheart when Mel Gibson's character was telling the woman, I believe, that he loved. He said, you know, she was trying to numb his pain and was trying to give him some kind of medicine. And he turned back around and said, you know, every man dies, but not every man really lives. So for him, I mean, that was like such a moment in that movie where he was just like, no, I'm going to feel it all. And he was not going to numb anything that was coming his way. He wanted to be able to experience life to the fullest. And you know what? Even as you're talking too, I remember doing my heart virtue too, is my scene is from The Kid, you know, when Bruce Willis, he gets reconnected with his inner child, and there's a moment that he recognizes where he got blocked or where he got stuck, and he was able to go back in time and to alleviate that pain so that he could grow himself up into what his passion was, what his purpose was on the planet, by identifying that, oh my gosh, you've carried this guilt or you've carried this fault that you thought was yours, but he was able to release it. So one of the things that I was able to determine is that I'm so committed to unconditional acceptance of whoever you are and however it is that you're showing up, that it's important that people are accepted for exactly who they are. And I know that you even had another movie that came to mind previously. Can you recall what that one was?
Oh, there's so many of them. You know, I'll tell you, there's a scene, there's a little story that really represents it, too. There's a king and a prince that are going to the battlefield after a huge battle, and the king from the opposing army is trapped under his horse. And they come across him, and the prince jumps off his horse, and he holds his knife to the throat of the opposing king, and he looks up at his father, and he says, Father, say the word. And his father looks down at him, and he says, any man can take a man's life. Only a king can give a man back his life.
Mm.
It's in that moment the prince realized, you know, it's like, what am I doing here? I'm supposed to be royalty. So it's in spiritual integrity for him to give the man back his life, because that's the gift that he can give. So
wow.
There are countless stories for me about those moments, but I really love hearing, you know, from people. I mean, it's got to be one of the most fun things to do is just ask people about the most meaningful and most beautiful moments of their life. And then try to find the theme. So, Tamara, what's your heart virtue?
Yes, well, like I was alluding to it before, too, it's really one of the main ones for me is personal freedom and a self-worth and unconditional acceptance is what we were talking about before. And I think that that's one of the things that Max and I have done even on the radio show here is creating that inner circle where whoever enters into our sacred space, our domain, that people feel that they're loved, that they belong, that there's a place for them, and that they will experience the love that's from my heart in the sphere that they're moved and that they're touched by that and that, you know, that there's a disarming effect that says, oh my God, like a feeling of home, you know, because I think that it's so rare that we experience those moments with certain people in our lives where you just go, oh my God, I feel like I'm home with you. And it's so rare. And it's something that I've always longed to experience. So I try to create those environments for people who come across my path. And I know that I've kind of done that at an arm's length, you know, for me. And so it's been extraordinary to experience something, you know, so close to heart, to have someone feel at home and me with them has been amazing. And I think that that's all part of my essence and part of my heart virtue is to be able to experience that heaven on earth, because it's been so difficult. It's been few and far between. I would say, you know, most of my childhood and most of my adult life, it's been about, you know, establishing myself in a, you know, with an image or a, I am what I do versus what I'm being. And so thank you for asking me that question, because, you know, that's one of the things that I've been exploring and have just been open to, is creating environments like that where it is home for people and that they do feel that unconditional acceptance. So that would be, you know, where I'm, what I would die for, I'm sure.
Right, and isn't it a privilege to be to talk to people about what's most meaningful? You know, if you listen to so many conversations, people filled with so many empty, these empty politeness statements, like, you know, how are you? Fine, how are you? There's nothing meaningful. Isn't it more? It's, you know, I love asking people the question, "What do you love to do?" Instead of "What have you? What do you do?" Mm-hmm. And as a culture, we're trained not to talk about the things that are most meaningful to us and to try and be polite and make people comfortable. And I got to tell you, I take no greater pride than making people feel uncomfortable about the conversations we have in a very powerful way by asking them, what are you really committed to for humanity? And what experience do you want to create with me? And, you know, if this was an extraordinary conversation you and I were about to have, what would that look like for you? And asking questions on a level of what's meaningful, we've almost lost track of this completely in society. And that's what's really beautiful about those heroes I study. Everything they did was in alignment with what was meaningful to them. They didn't care how they made people feel. And consequently, we admire them so much for standing in their authenticity. We make statues about them. We give them Nobel Peace Prizes. And that's what they get for standing on their own two feet, standing for what they believe in. And here's the key thing. There's two types of people that stand for what they believe in. People that stand for what they believe in to get something, and people that stand for what they believe in to make a contribution. There's a huge difference. One shows up like a selfish, you know, arrogant person. The other one shows up like this incredible, saintly, major contributor to humanity. And they're both standing for what they believe in. It's just like it's like a hero and a villain. You know, the opposite of a hero is not a villain. They're like neck and neck. The opposite of a hero is a victim. Someone that's playing small.
Wow. And you know what, Greg? I can imagine that in your workshops, when you lob out those kind of questions that get people to feel a little bit uncomfortable, there's an aliveness that starts to turn like a volcano maybe on the inside of them. Like, oh my gosh, I feel like something may be happening and stirring inside of me that I could live my passion. I could stand for something and be so proud about that, that regardless of what someone else's opinion is of me, I'm going to speak my truth. And that's got to be just exhilarating for your participants or anybody who comes across your work. Is that what you find? Like, they just get so excited to be alive just because of what you're pulling and drawing out of them.
You know, it's such a powerful conversation, Tamara, that a lot of them argue with me. Like, I'll look at someone and say, you're incredibly powerful. You could create anything you want. All you've got to do is stand for what you believe in and start asking people to get behind your project and the contribution you want to make to humanity. And they argue with me about, you know, I'm not sure I can do that, and I've never done that before, and what makes you think I can? And I say, listen, you and I are about to have an argument. I'm going to argue with you that you're incredibly powerful and you can do anything you want. And you're going to argue with me about resources and you've never done it before. And here's what's really funny is that we both want me to win that argument. They want to be incredibly powerful and heroic. They've just been trained to live in mediocrity and status quo and say things that are supposed to make, you know, supposed to be normal instead of doing what's natural. It is natural for human beings to reach out and really take care of each other. You know, and we're seeing this all over the planet these days. People, I think, have had it with just, you know, I've got my two cars in my garage and I just want to sit home and watch TV. Nowadays, people are really saying, you know what, this is not okay with me. It's not okay with me that women are being treated disrespectfully. It's not okay with me that children are being beaten and abused. It's not okay with me that men are not acting honorably anymore. And we're seeing, for the first time, I think, in thousands of years, we're seeing people step up. Ordinary human beings are stepping up and stepping out and saying, you know what, this is not acceptable to me, and I'm going to do something about it.
Wow. And Greg, what's that like when they cross over that line? When you win that argument with them, what's it like?
Well, you know, there's a huge power that kind of goes through your body. And I'm sure many of your viewers have listened, every one of them has probably experienced that at some point in their life, where they stand by something and you know, you're almost shaking. Because you're standing for something, and you're kind of like, God, I've never done this before, but, you know, I've got to do this. It's like professional speaking. You know, you stand up in front of an audience of people, and you're speaking them, saying what's really meaningful to you for the first time.
Wow.
And people do that. You know, when we speak vulnerably about what's meaningful to us, to a group of people,
wow.
A lot of times this, hello there.
Hi, Greg. We've got a caller on the line. Who's on the air with us?
Hello, Tamara. This is Fernando Vosa.
Well, hello there, Fernando. How are you?
I am doing incredible. You know that I love your work, and I needed to call in and share some thoughts.
Well, bless your heart. We've got Greg Moores here on the line with us. We're talking about people living their passion and their heart virtue. What would be your question for either one of us?
And hello, Greg. And if you guys hear some noises, I'm outdoors, so the planes might go by. We are in a time where men are to recognize our divine selves. For so long, we've been living under this negative male energy, and now it's time to show the world the positive side of the male masculine divinity. Would you agree, Greg?
Oh, completely. And what do you most want for humanity, Fernando?
An integration. No more separation. No more labels. No more things that contain us. The first aspect of this new change in the world is honoring our true potential as humans, all united as one humanity. No distinction between borders, languages, sexes, lifestyles, philosophies. When we have that unification, that's when we're going to start recognizing our true potential.
And when you say that, you know, men need to start owning their divinity, what would that look like for you?
Well, I didn't say it like they need to start. What I'm saying is that we can begin living the universal archetype of the warrior, of the king, of the creator, of the bringer of power and stability, to balance the divine feminine energy of creation, of nurturing, of purity and cleansing. Those are all the different things coming together now.
Okay, so Fernando, what does that look like? What does it look like?
First is to express our true emotions as men. When we feel love, when we feel fear, when we feel doubt, when we feel hate, allow ourselves to express it without...
Okay, there we go. There we go. That's good. Hey, Greg, you want to speak to that? That's beautiful.
Well, I agree completely with you, Fernando. You know, there are masculine qualities like honor and nobility and integrity and loyalty. And then there are feminine qualities that have more to do with compassion and kindness and forgiveness and understanding. And there's no reason, I see no reason why they can't be strengths for either sexes. But the culture, if you look at the culture we have today, I mean, here's a really shocking statistic. 80% of women in their lifetime will be beaten or raped, abused or raped.
I'm aware of that.
But here's the question that nobody's got the guts to ask. If 80% of women are being beaten and abused, men that are doing this. You know,
who's doing the beating and the abusing?
Exactly. It's a bunch of dishonorable men that really aren't owning their power. They're using their power destructively against women instead of using their power to be honorable knights and stand by women and protect their honor.
What if we were to recognize that this feminine or masculine energy has nothing to do with your physical sex, your physical body? It is a potential that we all have inside of us. And men would be inspired to know that within us is that feminine, nurturing Gaia energy, that if that was to be recognized, it would be the most powerful change in humanity.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
I agree. Wow, I agree completely. You know, during the years I was a monk, 9 out of 10 of the people that ran the organization where I was a monk were women. And I got to experience what it's like to be in a political system that is run by women. And I can tell you, for me personally, it was like heaven. For the simple reason, you know, you put a bunch of women in a room, you're not gonna try to conquer. They're not gonna, you know, go to war. They basically are looking at, you know, so how can we nurture and how can we build and grow? I would love to see men really owning the honorable, noble qualities that are so available. And
absolutely.
And to see that there be a balance between, you know, between leadership, between men and women.
Yes, most people aren't aware historically the women held the power. In ancient Egypt, it was women who signaled who was going to be the pharaoh. In the same in Aboriginal cultures, Native Americans, Aztec, Indian, Mayas, Sumerians, as far back as you want to go, women were the seat of power.
And, very interesting.
Like you said, though, if we take a look at instead of looking even at what sex people are, what, you know, what race or what color, what creed they come from, the right that everybody lines up on is the virtues. You know, even religions agree on virtues. They all believe in being compassionate and kind and forgiving. And it's been a really beautiful exploration when I look at these virtues and I study the lives of these people that are heroes, because not only are people standing for virtues, like Mother Teresa for compassion and Martin Luther King for brotherhood, but countries are committed to virtues. In this country, we're willing to die for freedom. But you go over to Japan, they don't care about freedom. They're committed to honoring their ancestors.
Yes.
And you go over to China, and they don't care about either of those. What they are committed to is community. So these are very generic and beautiful divine qualities that either men or women can own. And if we do, the culture we're going to create by standing by virtues, instead of looking for conquest and survival and pretending that there's some evil force out there. You know, I don't even believe in that. I don't believe there's two forces working against each other. I see one thing trying to happen out there, evolution.
I think one way that I've explained it is the spectrum of love and hate, light and dark. It is the same substance, the same energy, is just moving up and down the scale. So it's not polar opposites or a separation of different energies, right? And when you are encountering everyday issues and problems as men or women, you can recognize that you have the ability to choose how you're going to respond. And you can take the viewpoint of how would love respond? How would compassion respond? Mm-hmm. How would an ascended master or a guru or a teacher respond? And you can be that. And take that next step consciously. What do you think?
Well, you know what? You know what, Fernando? I totally appreciate your call, and we're going to have to keep moving this show right along, but I do appreciate all your thoughts and your comments. I think it's beautiful. Anytime we're blending the masculine and the feminine, I love that stuff, especially David Data's work. So,
Thank you both for allowing me to share, and I completely love the energy that you're sharing over the airwaves and the internet.
Well, bless you, and thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate that.
All right. Bye-bye. Blessings.
Bye. Yeah, that was a little noisy. Okay, so Greg, what was coming up for you with that last caller?
Well, you know, there's one thing I want to caution people about, and that's where we try to master all virtues. Like, I'm supposed to be kind and compassionate and loving and honorable and noble and accepting and trustworthy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Every human being has one virtue. It's the virtue that gives you goosebumps. It's the one thing. You know, Martin Luther King was committed to brotherhood. He wasn't particularly committed to compassion. He wasn't even necessarily committed to, you know, truth. He was committed to brotherhood. Mother Teresa was committed to compassion. She was a tough cookie.
Yeah.
She was not necessarily committed to, you know, kindness and you know, respect and all these other things. The woman would challenge people. I heard this rumor. I'd like to find out if anybody knows if it's true. I heard she went to the Vatican to visit with the Pope, and he hid from her for 3 days because he realized he was up against a huge force of nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that everyone has one virtue. Stop trying to master all virtues. Figure out what yours is and stand by that one thing. You'll drive yourself crazy trying to be some saint mastering all virtues.
You know, I'm so glad you said that, Greg, because it just seems overwhelming if you were going to try to be all things to all people all the time. I mean, really, we're only responsible for what we have. And we've got our producer here that's going to try to get Hawk on the line. It's going to bring in the different aspects of our heart virtues in alignment with the different animals or from nature. So we've got our producer trying to reach Hawk right now because
it'll be great to...
Wouldn't that be great if we get Hawk on here with us? So,
hey, you've reached Hawk. I love Hawk. Able to get to the phone.
Okay, that's okay. So you know what? We're not able to get Hawk here on the air with us tonight, but that's okay because we have each other and we have all of our listeners. So, yes, Greg, well, you're about to continue. Please.
Well, you know, Hawk, I've actually had conversations with Hawk. He's a Lakota elder. He's a really fascinating fellow because, you know, in the Indian, the American Indian traditions, they have these bizarre things that are really hard for us to even understand. For instance, in many American Indian traditions, they have no sense of possession, like that you would actually own land. They just have respect for nature. And his name is Hawk. And it's interesting to see that all animals have virtues that show up behind them, every animal. Remember, the dog is loyalty.
Yes.
And the bird is freedom. And the lion is leadership. The owl is wisdom. And the cat is independence. And the horse is liberation. So these animals represent archetypes of virtues. And what Hawk and I were discussing a little bit that we were going to discuss on the show is, you know, because he has extensive wisdom about the nature of these particular animals because of the Lakota Nation and their beliefs. There's someone else I know, his name is Gray Bear. And Gray Bear is, you know, his name is Gray Bear because he's got those qualities of the bear. He's got that unstoppable will, and he's got that wisdom. So they call him Gray Bear. So it's interesting to see how these, you know, how these archetypal animals, and we see these, you know, like the mountain has a particular quality about it, that it's strong and it's tall. Trees have this strength and perseverance and patience about them. And the ocean is brave and alive. And, you know, so it's really beautiful to see how in nature these virtues are represented in ways that you really don't need a whole lot of paragraphs. You know, you can just say, you know, like wow, he's as loyal as a dog.
Wow. You know, would people be able to identify their animal archetype when they get their heart virtue with you as well?
Well, that's something more that would have, you know, I don't actually do that with the heart virtues. My work is to get people, once they know their heart virtue, mm-hmm. I want to train them to speak it authentically and not worry about whether they make people feel uncomfortable about it. Because mm-hmm. when we do make people feel uncomfortable, it's typically because we're inviting them to be more powerful if we do so with virtues. Mm-hmm. I want to see people identify their virtues, then go out and speak their virtue powerfully and turn that into a contribution for humanity. What would it be like if we had like a dozen Gandhis on this planet? People that were so authentic like Gandhi was, that they literally were like using the forces of nature and these invisible powers to inspire, uplift, and really empower humanity.
I love that. And you know what, Greg, just as you're speaking right now, do you have someone in mind that you've actually seen them come into your work and maybe be a little bit shy or meek about their voice, and then watch them in front of you gain their voice, empower their every cell in their body? I mean, give us a story. I mean, what happens with one particular person that stands out to you, that they came into you, they got their heart virtue, and what's happening for them now?
Well, you know, just recently I ran into someone, she went through the process, and her heart virtue had to do with nurturing innocence and empowering innocence. Mm-hmm. And she's from Nicaragua. She walked up to me and had tears in her eyes, and she said, you know, because of my heart virtue, I realized that what I'm committed to is seeing that every child in Nicaragua is off the streets, not begging for food or for money, that every child in Nicaragua has a family, home, and someone that can hold them and say they love them.
Wow.
Now, that's a very powerful vision for a very simple and humble woman to have. But she was just being honest with herself. I mean, look, Mother Teresa was just a simple, humble woman.
Mm.
And when we live in alignment with the virtues that mean the most to us,
mm-hmm.
it will surprise you how incredibly powerful and beautiful your life can be. And you don't have to go out and change, you know, you don't have to go out and raise money to save thousands of people. It's like literally whoever you run across, Mm-hmm. Whoever you meet. I mean, she lives in this little town in Nicaragua. If she just gets, you know, steps out the front door and spends an hour a day to get one of those kids off the street, she's going to love her life.
Wow.
It doesn't have to be some huge, giant world. You know, I have this saying. We are not 6 billion people in one world. We are one people living in 6 billion worlds. Each one of us is living in our own world, and we have our own commitments. And if we'll recognize that we're really one people, but each one of us has a different perspective on life, and we honor each other's virtues, then you'll see that even though she's committed to nurturing, you know, innocence, that's not my virtue. I'm committed to spiritual integrity. My heart doesn't really pour out for children as much as some people. What my heart pours out for is some adult who's so miserable because they thought that if they went out and got, you know, got a great job and made a lot of money, they'd be happy. You know, one of the things we had to do in the monastery is we had to go visit nursing homes. Whoever wanting experience, go to a nursing home because see where you're going to end up if you just keep living a mediocre life. You'll be laying on your deathbed. Your body will be rotting. And you'll be wondering what life should have been. Mm-hmm. And I did some research about this. I found there's three regrets that people have on their deathbed.
Mm-hmm.
The number one regret, I wish I'd have spent more time in contemplation.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I wish I'd have taken more risk.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, I wish I'd have left something of lasting value behind. And that's part of my formula, because look at the formula that I came up with for how to be heroic in your life. Number one, know yourself. The number one regret is I wish I had spent more time in contemplation. So the number one skill to develop is to know yourself. The number two skill is to speak your truth. The number two regret is I wish I'd have taken more risk.
Mm.
And the number three skill is make a huge contribution. The number three regret for people on their deathbed is I wish I'd have left something of lasting value behind. I wish I'd have made a contribution and left a legacy. So we are literally targeting the three greatest regrets people have on their deathbed by training them. And these are skills, by the way. These are not innate. They're not some people have them and other people don't. You either learn the skill of how do you actually know yourself? How do you go through every day and be in introspection? You know, I meditate every morning to make sure I'm getting in touch with who I really am and what I really want to do for humanity today. And then speaking my truth and making a contribution everywhere I go.
Wow, I love that. And you know what? Do you think that people are literally, like, they're miserable if they're not living their virtue? I mean, that you could go to your grave and it just be a meaningless existence. And I cannot think of anything sadder than to die with your gift inside, with your song unsung. With
now,
your...
Cameron, that's you. Mm-hmm. Right, but that's you, and who you are is a woman that is committed to greater things in life, you know, and that's who I know you to be. There are some people, we can't make a blanket generalization. There's some people that just love mediocrity. They want a simple life. My dad worked for the post office for 38 years, and he was totally content with his 9-to-5 job, turned down promotions over and over again. He just wanted to do the same thing every day, so he had plenty of time to come home, spend with his family, spend the weekend with his family. He didn't want some promotion where he was going to have to be working on weekends.
Would you say he's living his heart virtue?
He probably is, and yet he doesn't even have an interest in discovering exactly what it is. But here's what I would say. If you're a listener right now, and you constantly hear this voice throughout your life, there's got to be more to life than this.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be more to life than this. If you're constantly feeling that there's got to be more to life than this, then I really encourage you to take those steps to know and start speaking your truth. Because you are one of those people that's being called forth by some force of nature to do more in the world. We've got to have people that are common workers. That those are important people. And it's a particular caste of people. And it's interesting because, you know, much as we may not like a caste system, the original caste system from the higher ages wasn't like you were, you know, if your father was a common worker, then you were a common worker. The original caste system was when a child was born, you looked at their temperament. And if they were someone that was very contemplative and wise, you made them one of the spiritual leaders of society. If they were someone that had more of a feisty temperament and they loved, you know, sports and competition, you made them one of the warriors and managers. And if they were someone that was just very content to just, you know, they just like to work and they just like to serve, and you made them one of the common workers. And it didn't matter if you were born to the king or the emperor, whatever your temperament was, that's where you ended up. And it was so authentic. But then some, you know, during the Darker Ages, you know, kings wanted their son to be the next king. And then you have these common workers that have no propensity for leadership doing these, you know, in this job that's just aggravating for them. So the trick is to recognize what's authentic for you. And don't let anybody else tell you what you should be doing. You should be, you know, getting a a higher income at work or earning the plaque. That's somebody else's heart virtue. You live authentically what's most meaningful to you. You want to go out and make a huge difference for people? Take the risk and go out and do it. If you just love to stay home and be with your family, then do that and take pride in it. If you want to stay home and meditate all day, you don't even want a family, you just want to be a contemplative monk, do that. That's great. I did that for 8 years of my life, and I found that it wasn't a natural lifestyle. I mean, listen to me. Could you imagine me in a monastery and living in silence for 8 years?
No, but I admire the discipline that you underwent to find out what it was that made you tick so that you could come out so powerful.
Well, I had no choice. You know, when I was 21 years old, I remember being buckled over and sobbing. There's got to be more to life than this, Lord. You either give me something to do or take my life, because I'm not willing to live like this anymore.
Yeah.
And that was really a turning point for me. Because honestly, I didn't get an answer from God or an answer from the Lord. What I got was nothing. And I realized, you know what, if I don't take responsibility for my life, and if I don't go out and create my own passion for something, then I'm probably not going to be handed one. And the only reason I wanted God to tell me what to do in my life, because if God tells you what to do, and you do it, and it doesn't work out, you get to blame God. But take something on for yourself and say, you know what, I want to see that men are more honorable and noble. Or I want to see that children are treated with respect. Or I want to see that women have self-worth. Because you care. Now it truly becomes your responsibility to see those people's lives are improved. And now I'm not beholding to some higher power. I am my own force of nature because I am committed to seeing that those people have a more rewarding experience in their lives. And it's really beautiful to see how when something like that happens, you have crazy stuff that happens, like Gandhi, who got one of the most powerful empires on the planet to leave his country with a stick and a diaper. He didn't even have an arm. He just stood in his power, and he said, I am committed to seeing that he is free. And we've got 900 million Indians, and you've got 100,000 Englishmen. Eventually, you're just going to see the wisdom of it because you can't control 900 million Indians.
I love that.
So it's, you know, it's really a question of, it's not a question of finding your passion. It's a question of creating it. You know, just wake up in the morning, and instead of laying there and going, oh my God, you know, jump out of bed and say, I love my life. I love that I have a life, that I can actually make choices and make a difference in somebody's life. Make a courageous phone call.
I love that. And Greg, listen, if people wanted to get a hold of you, if there was some coaching that people were spurred on by just by hearing you and what's available for them, how can they get a hold of you?
They can reach me directly. My personal email is greg@bridgetobliss.com. That's the number 2. greg@bridgetobliss.com. And if you email me, I'd be more than happy to you know, answer any questions you may have about how to empower yourself in your life. You know, it's a really beautiful set of skills. You know, I believe that it would be wonderful to create a coaching culture, and that's what we live in. I mean, I live in a culture where every day I'm getting coached by people that are committed to seeing that I evolve and I'm better in my life. And so, you know, greg@bridgetobliss.com is how you can get in touch with me, and I'm very committed to seeing that you love your life and are empowered in it. So be courageous and ask for what you want.
Excellent. And I'm sure our listeners have been inspired by tonight's show. Greg, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being a part of the show. And I want to remind our listeners that you can get his book. It's called Unlock Your Heart Virtue by Greg Moores. You can get that by going to his website. Again, that is greg@bridgetobliss.com. And I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. And I know that our producers here are trying to wrap up the show, but any closing words, that a quote, anything you'd like to give, Greg, to leave our listeners with?
You know, my favorite quote is by Gandhi, be the change you want to see in the world. But I have a little spin on that.
Mm-hmm.
You be the change you want to see in the room. If you don't like what's happening in a particular room because, you know, people aren't respecting each other, then make that request. Walk up to someone and say, my request of you is you be more respectful.
Mm-hmm.
You be the change you want to see in the room, and then everywhere you go, you're going to love the world you live in.
I love that. Okay, excellent. So with that, be the change that you want to see in the world, and wake up by saying you love your life. And to find out more, go to greg@bridgetobliss.com. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll say goodnight to all of our listeners as our producers here start the music to end the show. So thank you again for tuning in to Max and Friends at LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Max, only on LA Talk Radio.